This reading is taken from chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke, starting at verse 7, and you'll find it in the Church Bibles on page 1047. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat," and then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thank you very much, Manny. Please do keep that passage open in Luke's Gospel. And let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look at these verses together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have promised to speak through the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that we need his word. We need his voice to guide us, to change us. And so, Father, now as we come to your word, we pray that you would help us to hear, to understand, and to obey, that we might know and love the Lord Jesus Christ better and bring him glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, when was the last time, or perhaps the worst time, when you felt left out or excluded from something? Perhaps it was a job application that wasn't successful, or some other kind of official process. But most likely, I imagine it was just a party that you heard about that you realized you weren't invited to, or a comment that got back to you about you through a third party that made you realize that in some way, somehow, you were on the outside, that you had been considered unworthy of some group or setting or whatever. I wonder when the last time or when a particularly difficult time of that like that happen to you? I imagine for many of us, those kind of experiences are amongst the most painful that we can remember. And I guess it's for that reason, it's out of a desire to avoid that feeling of exclusion, of being an outsider, that we seek to make sure that we are, in the areas that really matter to us, insiders. That we're not excluded from the parts and places of life that really care for us. We ensure that that whatever aspect it is, that we don't taste that bitter feeling of exclusion. And so we're eager to get that promotion at work, not necessarily because we want to do a different kind of work or because we really relish working extra hours or we really need the money, but just because we want to be the one who's asked to have the slightly more important job title. And we hate the idea of our colleague being asked instead. If you're a parent, you're as concerned that it's your children who are the ones who everyone else thinks are the naughty ones who they don't want their kids to play with, and they think they're worried that they're the ones that are going to get the push over the other kids and make you look like a bad parent. When you hear that you're not on the Housing Association Committee, even though you don't want to be on the Housing Association Committee, you didn't even know there was a Housing Association, but you resolve that you will never, ever be excluded from that committee again. And whoever it is that chooses the membership of it, you will make sure that they choose you. We think of life, therefore, as a ladder. And the aim of the game is to be one rung or two rungs ahead of whoever is next to us. I was reading in the papers a few weeks ago of a nurse who for 8 years had told his friends and relatives, including his wife, that he was an orthopedic surgeon. He'd even put that job title down on his marriage certificate for 8 years. Why did he do that? There's nothing wrong or unworthy or immoral about being a nurse. It's a noble calling. But for him, being a nurse was too far down the ladder. Being a nurse meant being excluded from whatever circles that he wanted to be included from. And so he kept up a pretense that in the end has led to him being charged with criminal charges, ending his career. Few of us are going to those kind of extreme lengths. But in a very important essay, C.S. Lewis talks about this phenomenon. He calls it the inner ring, being wanting to be on the inside of whatever inner ring there is in our workplace or our school or our university. And Lewis says this: "I believe that in all men's lives at certain periods, and in many men's lives at all periods, between infancy and extreme old age, one of the most dominant elements is the desire to be inside the local ring and the terror of being left outside." And I guess that is something that most of us will be able to relate to. In a city like Cambridge, how much of the academic work that goes on in the universities here is driven not by a desire to just expand the reach of human knowledge, but out of a desire to get someone's name in a journal or on the cover of a book? How much of the business that happens here is driven not by the desire just to simply to provide a service and to do a good job and make a good return on investment, but so that someone has a nicer car than their neighbour on the driveway, or a bigger office than their colleague. The desire to climb the ladder, to be in the inner ring, to have a slightly greater status, is one that is that is absolutely compelling to the human heart. And it's the subject and the central idea of this evening's passage. Jesus is at a Pharisee's house. And the Pharisees were a group of people who were the religious elite in a religious society. They were the very innermost in a ring. They were the people who had the highest rung on the ladder in their society. And as Jesus is sitting at this banquet, at this dinner party, he notices how status drives everything that goes on. It drives the guest list and who is invited. It drives the seating plan and who sits where. And as he sits at this dinner party, as he's in the company of these Pharisees, he basically says to them, stop it. Stop it. Stop being worried about status. Stop being worried about who is on a higher rung than you. Stop it. Don't worry about where you're going to sit. Sit in the lowest place and wait till you're raised to a higher place. Don't worry about who's on the guest list and who will make you look good and who might invite you back to a more prestigious occasion that will burnish your reputation. Instead, look, just invite the poor, the lame. Well, you can imagine the kind of awkward silence that Jesus' comments caused. To go to the Pharisees and say status and reputation and honor is unimportant. This was a huge social faux pas. This would be like going to Boris Johnson's house and sitting at Boris Johnson's table and just spending the whole evening saying how wonderful you thought Michael Gove was. What a wonderful man. Should be in some kind of position of power and influence. This is a dreadful faux pas, and you can imagine that the silence around this dinner table, people wondered how on earth they were going to respond to such outlandish and ridiculous statements. And eventually, one of them at the table can't bear it any longer, and he says, verse 15, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. Well, I guess that's the most important thing, isn't it, Jesus? It's a kind of meaningless religious cliche. If you've been in Christian circles and religious circles for any length of time, you'll know that religious people have a habit, have an ability just to say some kind of trite statement, just to fill the air, just to make a sound, move the conversation along. And this is what this man's saying, just trying to say something that everyone will kind of go, oh, yes, 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 nod their heads. And we can forget about the embarrassment that's just been caused. But as this man says this, Jesus says, yes. Let me tell you a story about that. Let me tell you a story about the kingdom of God. And as Jesus tells this story, he's explaining why it is that the Pharisees' concern with status and reputation that drives everything they did was so misguided. He was explaining what it was about the kingdom of God that made it so mistaken. And as we understand this story, we'll see how our concern with status, our concern with our reputation, is also misguided and mistaken. The story is of a man who decides to hold a banquet. And so he invites the people you would expect to be invited to a large social occasion. As we see them later on, we'll see that these are wealthy, successful men. And just as you would sort of, as you might, if you were holding a dinner party, you might invite people for a certain date and say, can you make the 12th? Is that a good date for you? And then a couple of days before, the day before, say, are you still able to come? I'm getting the food in. Is it still okay? So then you would hold a banquet. You would invite people. And then when the food was ready and everything was prepared, you say, right, come. It's time for this banquet. And as the man gets his banquet ready. He tells his servant to tell the people who've accepted his invitation, I've got everything ready. It's time to have this occasion. But the servant finds that these people who've been invited start making excuses. And the first people who heard this story would have known that these are lame excuses. These are bad excuses. I think you see that probably most clearly in the third one. The third man who says, I have just got married, so I can't come. I imagine you've invited a friend round for dinner in a couple of weeks' time, and the night before you ring him up and you say, are you still able to make it tomorrow night, Friday night? And he says, oh, yes, Friday night. I'm afraid I can't make it. Oh, why is that? Well, I got married yesterday. Really? Yeah, short notice, one of those whirlwind romances, but yeah, got married, so won't be able to come along. You would know that you were being played for a fool. You would know that this is someone who is just kind of come up with any old story, any old excuse to not come to this banquet. We're not told why it was exactly these three men and the others who were invited decided that they weren't going to come. But from the context, I think it's fair to assume that they decided that this party, this occasion, wasn't going to be one that was worth their time. It wasn't going to be one that they would look good being at. It wasn't one that they would be able to impress their friends by telling them that they'd been invited to and telling them, giving them the stories about who else was there. And so the man hears that his guests aren't able to come. And it's the way that he responds to this that's the key part of the story. I don't know if you've ever had organized a party and found that not everyone you invited was able to come. I don't know how you dealt with that situation, but actually decided you're just going to put the food back in the freezer, have vol-au-vents for dinner for the next few days, or push the table extender back in and make it look as if you just invited a small group of people in the first place. But this man decides that no, despite the fact that everyone he's invited has turned him down, that he is still going to have the banquet he planned. And his banquet is going to be full. And so he says to his servant, go out into the town, go out into the city and bring in the poor, the blind, and the lame. Verse 21. And when the servant says that, I've found every single poor person I could possibly find in the area, he says, go out into the highways and the byways, bring in the homeless, bring in the people who are living on the very margins of society, and give them a seat at this table. I think it was it 4 years ago now, Will and Kate's wedding, and my wife made me watch it. It was non-negotiable. And so we spent the Saturday morning, I think it was, watching the great and the good, the various different obscure royalty from continental Europe, celebrities, the Beckhams, everybody was there. And Hugh Edwards or David Dimbleby telling you the names of and the achievements of everyone who walked up into, I think, was it Westminster Abbey? I think it was. Imagine if Hugh Edwards had been, you've been watching the TV, Hugh Edwards had been telling you about the people, and then as you saw the camera pan to the next guest, there's Fred. Fred lives under Victoria Bridge in a sleeping bag, and he's been given a front row seat. There's Steve. He sells the big issue outside WH Smith's in Victoria Station. There's Edna. She lives in the local old people's home and hasn't had anyone visit her in months. Imagine if those were the kind of people that came into the church for the celebration and onto the reception venue. That's the kind of image that Jesus is conjuring for us in this story. This is what's happening in this story, is these poor and blind and lame, as the people on the very margins of society are brought in and they're given a seat at the table. And then at the end of the story, it's the insiders, the ones who were initially invited, who are now on the outside. And the outsiders who have a seat at the table, who are inside, who have been included. And why are they included? Not because of their status, not because of their achievements, not because of who they knew or what they knew, but simply because they accepted the invitation. Simply because they didn't make excuses and they came in. Imagine what it was like for those men who'd turned the invitation down. They decide that this party isn't going to burnish their reputation. It isn't worth their while. And then they see all these odd characters coming down the road, in the gates. And they see the food being delivered and the wine. And they see who is coming to perform the music. And as the evening comes, they smell the food. And they hear the music and the laughter. They can feel the ground vibrating with the dancing and the joy. And they realize that they've made the biggest mistake of their lives. They realize that they've excluded themselves from the greatest party that's ever happened. And Jesus is saying, that is what happens if you are more concerned about your status, about your reputation, than accepting my invitation. What if it's our very concern to be one or two rungs up the ladder? What if it's our very concern to be an insider, to be in the inner ring, that will actually lead us to be outsiders? That will actually end up with us being excluded from the only place that matters. If Jesus is right about the kingdom of God, if Jesus is able to tell us what God is like, then that is exactly what will happen. You see, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is the kind of place where the only qualification you need is to accept his invitation. The kingdom of God is a place where what job title you have, how well behaved your children are, whether you've been on this committee or that committee, whether you have this reputation or that reputation, all of that is irrelevant if you reject his invitation. Because God is so determined that his banquet will be full. The banquet that Kevin read to us about from Isaiah. God is so determined that banquet, that party that he has prepared for the end of time will be full, that he's made it possible for everyone to come, for everyone and anyone to come. God is so determined that he sent his son Jesus into the world. He's so determined that people like you and I, who deserve to be outsiders because of the way we treated our Creator, he's so determined that people like you and I should be able to come to his banquet, that he sent Jesus, his son, into the world, not to be on the VIP guest list, not to sit in the places of honor and glory, but as someone who was excluded, someone who was treated as the very lowest of the low, someone who was treated as if their name was not on the guest list, someone who felt the terror of being left outside as he died outside the city gates as a criminal on the cross. And God sent Jesus. God sent his son to be treated as an outsider so that you and I could be insiders. He was excluded so that we could be included. He was beaten and bloodied and bruised so that we could be given the place of honor at the banquet. And what Jesus is saying to these Pharisees and what he says to us this evening is, will you accept my invitation? Will you accept my invitation to the kingdom of God, to the banquet that will one day come at the end of time? The invitation that I have made possible by my own blood. But he says, if you are going to accept that invitation, you need to leave your ladders. You need to leave the concern for about inner rings and status and reputation behind. You cannot have both my invitation to my banquet, my kingdom, and your concern about status. You see, verse 15, the man in verse 15 is absolutely right. There is nothing more blessed. There is no status higher. There is no inner ring more central. There is no place, there is no rung on the ladder better than to be able to eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, do you believe that? Do you believe that my free invitation is the greatest blessing you could ever receive? If you do, then you'll leave all your concern about status behind. As I thought about who exemplifies this, I think about a house in a village in Hampshire. And as you drive past the house, you probably think it's owned by a wealthy, ancient wealthy family. But actually, it's run by a Christian charity called Le Brie. I'm sure many of you know it's French for the shelter. And for 40 years, that house in Hampshire has opened its doors to anyone who wants to come. If you go there, you'll find ex-alcoholics and alcoholics. You'll find people who've been abused and people who've been accused of committing abuse. You'll find all kinds of people sitting around the table together in community. And the founder of Le Brie, Francis Schaeffer, wrote had a series of sermons published, and the title was No Little People. Because Francis Schaeffer understood what Jesus was saying here. That in the kingdom of God, at the heavenly banquet, there are no little people. There is not a lower rung on the ladder and a higher rung on the ladder. It doesn't matter whether you're a nurse or a surgeon. It doesn't matter whether you're a professor or you don't have a single qualification to your name. What matters is, the only qualification is, have you accepted Jesus' invitation? So let me ask you, what will shape your week this week? Is it the concern not to be excluded, not to have anyone think badly of you or think worse of you, to make sure that you're just half a step, one step ahead of the person next to you? Or will your week be shaped by the invitation that you have received from Jesus? Will you have the freedom, because you know that your place at the banquet is secure, not to worry, not to care about whatever area of life it is where your status is most important to you? As I was thinking about this passage, I have to say, as we were members at Eden for 3 years up to just last summer, I have to say, in a place like Cambridge, in which the this issue of status and reputation is so prevalent, it struck me as I was preparing this that the Eden, as our experience of Eden, it has been that Eden exemplified in many, many ways the kind of values that Jesus is talking about. As I was considering this, I thought, yes, this is, I've seen ways in which Eden is a community that has been shaped by the teaching that Jesus gives here. But nevertheless, the temptation is always there. The desire to be, to have a slightly greater reputation than we have, or to protect the one that we've gained, is always there. And it shapes us perhaps more profoundly than we think. That's certainly been my reflection as I've considered this. The way in which my life is insidiously, unknowingly, shaped by that concern to be one rung higher. So how will you, what values will you live by? How will you wean yourself off your addiction to reputation this week? Perhaps it might be if you're in work and you're in an office, perhaps it might be that you could compliment one of your peers, give credit to one of your peers, to your boss, in a way that makes them look good. So without worrying, well, if I say that, then when the head of department job comes up, or when the next appraisal comes up, I'll get slightly less credit for this or that. And perhaps it might be just to invite someone into your home or into your company in a way that... In a way that doesn't expect anything in return, isn't kind of working out whose company will I most enjoy, whose conversation will most enliven me and inform me. Because most of us don't have a large country house in Hampshire, but we do have wallets we can open. We do have homes we can share. We do have company and conversation we can give. Who could we give those to that won't expect anything in return? Perhaps it's just even this evening, starting a conversation with someone who in the past has you've always kind of secretly, unconsciously not wanted to speak to, just felt a little bit beneath you. Or starting a conversation with someone you've thought has intimidated you, and you thought, they won't ever want to speak to me. But perhaps this evening it might be time to live out the values of Jesus' kingdom for in that new way. You see, I think we all long for the wearying, ceaseless, unblinking concern that so many of us maintain for our status and reputation to cease. We long that there would be a place where those status distinctions that matter so much in the world could be laid aside. We see the homeless sitting down with hedge fund managers. Where we find a place where we can share our failures and our worries and our concerns without fear that it's going to be a cause to shut the door in our face. We long for a place where we can share our successes and what we've done well and without worrying that there's someone who is going to be jealous of us and bitter towards us as we do so. We long for a place where the only qualification is to accept the invitation. And Jesus says There is just such a place. There's always been such a place. And that place is his kingdom. That place is his banquet. And Jesus says to all of us this evening, will you accept my invitation? And if you have, if you say, well, I did that many, many years ago. Jesus says, right, will you live as if that invitation is the best thing that ever happened to you? Jesus says, if we've understood this story, if we understand what the kingdom of God is like, we will do. We will accept that invitation. And in doing so, we'll leave concern of status and reputation, of inner rings, inclusion and exclusion to one side. And we'll glory in how blessed we have been to have a seat at that banquet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace in sending the Lord Jesus. Father, we know that he was the one who deserved highest honor. He was the one that deserved to be given all glory and praise. And yet he came humbly, sacrificially. He was prepared to be excluded for our sake, for the sake of those who had done everything possible to exclude ourselves. He did it for us who were unworthy in every respect. Father, help us to see reality rightly. Help us to see how blessed we are to be invited by the Lord Jesus. Help us to have the freedom not to be concerned about the praise of men, our reputation in the eyes of others, but instead to be able to hold open arms out and to create places of welcome and hospitality and generosity that reflect what your kingdom is like. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.